Okay, welcome back to another episode of New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name is Jen. And on today's show, we're going to talk about part two of Come and Follow Me and I Will Make You Fishers of Men. But how much does it cost to catch a fish?
You've got mad skills, now hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda.
Okay, welcome back again, and we're just going to jump right back in. Last week we talked about the verse, Matthew 4, verse 19, mm-hmm. when Jesus says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He was calling his first disciples. So he was beginning his ministry. He saw Andrew and Peter in the boat, and then he saw James and John in the boat with their father. He says to them, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately drop their nets.
Yes.
They leave their family.
Yes.
And they follow Jesus.
Yes.
So what's up for today, Jen?
Well, and that's what we want to talk about, is the cost of the come, mm-hmm. right? Jesus invites them to come, but whenever you choose to follow something or do something, there's always a cost.
Well, because you have to leave something else.
Because you have to leave something else.
So if I chose to skip work and hang out with you for the day.
Which would be great.
It would be great. She's great. I would be gaining because I get to spend time with you, but there would be a cost because you can lose your job. So
yes.
Anytime you choose to follow something, you are considering leaving something at the same time.
Yes. And so today we're going to talk about the cost of catching the fish, or the cost of saying yes to Jesus. And what you said was so clear, was so very right to the point. They left their families. Simon and Peter were in the boat, and they left their nets.
Oh, Peter and Andrew?
Yes, yeah. Peter and Andrew. So we're not really sure what kind of family life they had. But in the next part, it goes on to say, Jesus continued walking down Lake Galilee, and he saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. So they actually have, he's giving some context here, right? They have family. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and Jesus told them to come and follow him. And immediately they left the boat and their father.
And followed him.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this earlier, how they left the boat, so they're leaving their livelihood. They left their father, so their family.
Yes.
And they, the two brothers, they likely would have had just taken over their family's business,
right?
The boat, right? Because then they would also be responsible for caring for their family in their parents' old age.
Yes.
So it says, and I don't know if they had other brothers or not, but it says they left the father with the hired hands. Mm-hmm. So maybe there was no other sons. Yeah. And then really, you don't hear anything about their family in the future, except when their mother comes and asks Jesus a
That's
question.
True. Yes.
But it's very, very interesting what they had to give up. And there is a cost for following Christ. And Jen, I read a blog this morning by Jeff Bethke, and it was about how the traditional call of the Christian church kind of sets a stage where maybe there's a certain emotional feeling going on,
okay.
that you're called to come to the altar to say a prayer and ask Jesus into your heart. So it's like this intangible thing. They don't really necessarily talk about the cost of being a Christian
right
away. And I don't know. The blog had a certain feel about it that he wasn't necessarily saying that this is bad, because people do come to Christ that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I came to Christ initially just saying a prayer, because I believed the things that were in the prayer, that Jesus came, that he died, that he rose again, that he loves and forgives me. So that's not necessarily bad. But he was saying that Christians today don't have a full understanding, at least in the West, of the cost of coming to Christ.
Right. Because often in our families, I know my family, when I came to Christ, there was no cost.
It was like, okay, great, join the club.
Yeah. Like, there was, in my mind, no cost. It wasn't until I got much older and had to then walk out my faith on my own that all of a sudden I'm like, oh. So when I'm with my friends at school and I have a choice to, you know, to do what Jesus would normally ask me to do, or to go and, you know, party or skip school or whatever, what am I going to do? There was a cost. Am I going to do what the right thing is, be honorable, or am I going to, you know, disobey my parents, skip out on school, be disrespecting the people God has placed in my life to teach me, right? You know, it begins that easy. At home, like, if your parents are serving Jesus, the cost is so small, relatively speaking.
Relatively, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you get out into the world where they don't have the same mindset. They don't have the same belief setting, belief systems. And then you might even be inside the church. And you feel that God is saying, no, I want you to do this. And are you sure about that? Oh, I don't know if we can afford that. I'm not, are you sure? Do you realize how many people that, you know, God, that we would need to accomplish that task? And all of a sudden, you start feeling the pressure. Like, okay, am I willing to actually stick my neck out here? Say, no, I believe this is what God has really called me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or do we sort of back away? And we're not willing to fall full on for Christ. So I find sometimes as I've gotten older, the cost seems to be becoming more and more. Like, am I willing to say yes to Christ at the cost of no to other things? When I left my previous work and I didn't have a job to go to.
Right.
I just left. And people said, what are you going to do? Where are you going? I'm like, I don't know. Jesus just said, go. But this is the cool thing about Jesus. I said, Lord, you have me here in Canada. I live in the middle of nowhere. So I need a place to stay that has heat. And I need a car to get around. And I need food to eat. Those are the three things that I need to actually live where you have placed me.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. Did the Lord meet those needs? So I did not have an income coming in. I did not accept unemployment insurance, because in my mind, you had to be out looking for a job. Like, I actually read the stipulations to gain unemployment insurance. So, and I wasn't sick. So I just genuinely was waiting for God to tell me the next thing to do. And I'm like, okay, how are you going to do this? But that was the cost of following him. I had to be willing to forget about my job. And then he called me to England. And I'm like, well, that means leaving my family behind.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, Lord. And I sat down across from my mom. I'm like, Mom, I need you to release me. And after, you know, and she eventually released me. But I had to be willing to leave my family.
Right.
And go to a place where nobody knew who I was.
Yeah.
Now it was a discipleship school, but I still had to go by myself. And it was just one of those moments where, am I willing to leave my family? Am I willing to leave my livelihood?
Right.
You know, my circle of friends and a source of income. I went without money. Like, I had some savings, but like, I managed. The Lord managed to provide for all of my needs, including two missions trips. And I just sort of go.
He just took care of the details.
He took care of the details because I was willing to go.
Right.
So in that sense, I've had, you know, when we talk about counting the cost, are you willing to say no to security? Are you willing to say no to that job? Are you willing to say no to those friends that are like, oh no, we want to party later. And you're like, well, no, I need to get up tomorrow morning because I'm actually teaching Sunday school, you know, or I want to be, you know, I want to spend time in the Bible every morning. And that means I can't stay up late every night. Like, that's a cost. Like we said, if you choose every decision always has something that mm-hmm. you cannot do. You can't, as my dad would say, you cannot have your cake and eat it too. You can't hold on to something and eat it and expect it to still be there.
That's what it means. Mm-hmm. That's what that saying means. Mm-hmm. Light bulb moment.
Light bulb moment. So yes, that whole idea of counting mm-hmm. the cost. Was it actually going to cost you to serve the Lord?
And if Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, what does that really look like?
Yeah.
I just finished a book. It's called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. And it's by Nabil Qureshi. And Nabil, he was Muslim. And he became a medical doctor. And through his time through university, he became friends with a guy named David. And David was a Christian. And David was evangelizing Nabil. Meanwhile, Nabil was trying to evangelize David and trying to bring him to Islam.
Interesting.
It's a very interesting read. I highly recommend it. Spoiler alert, as you would say, Jen, he does come to Christ because it says finding Jesus. But he talks about the cost for a Muslim to leave the faith. Also means that they are disowning their family, because there's that the religion and the culture, Middle Eastern culture, mm-hmm. Is highly dependent on shame and honor. So you bring honor to your family by practicing your faith accordingly.
Right.
So if you turn from your faith, you're also dishonoring your family. And a lot of Muslims who have turned to Christ have actually lost their lives. And in this case, Nabil's family kind of turned away from him for a while. And he does talk about how God kind of renewed the relationship, but then it's been rocky. But he, when he was deciding, finally, when he looked at all the evidence that David and other scholars had presented in the research that he had done into the life of Muhammad, what Islam actually is founded upon, and the claims of Christ, he knew that in making that decision what it would cost him. And so it was so hard, and it was a process over a number of months after he finally concluded. God spoke to him in a number of ways, including dreams and visions.
Right.
He knew that it was right, but he couldn't just jump on board because he counted the cost. And eventually, obviously, he did decide to come to Christ. But I do recommend it. Actually, if you want to get the book, you can go onto our website, neweveryday.tv, click our partners page, go to Amazon, and you can actually order the book on Amazon, and then some of the proceeds from that will actually go to supporting this show. So, excellent read, but really opened my eyes to what it costs some people
right
to follow Christ.
And Jesus says himself that we must deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. Like, that's part of the process. We have to be willing to say no to those things that we think are so important or think that we can't live without. Deny ourselves and pick up the cross. Like, it's, I said it at church on Sunday, being a Christian is not easy. In fact, it's going to get harder for the most part because you're going against the flow.
Right.
It's like paddling upstream against, 40 mile an hour wind. And this past summer, I went kayaking with my friend, Rebecca, and we had decided we were going to go all the way around the lake, and it was a beautiful day, perfect for kayaking. And so we get all the way down to the lake, and we're at the very farthest tip, and we turn, and we're like, wow, did the wind ever pick up?
And so we were going against the wind?
Oh, yes. We were going against, and like, if we stopped paddling for a moment, the wind and the waves caught us and would push us back, and we're like, we are at the other end of the lake, like beyond Turtle Island. Like,
ooh, you're far.
So Carrie has gone kayaking with me at camp before. So we were like way down, and I'm thinking, how are we ever going to get back? But that's what, you know, it can be so overwhelming when you're in the midst of it. It would have been so much easier to just pull the kayak
put the
up.
Paddle.
Yeah. And just go to the, you know, get on the edge of the shore and just walk back. It would have been so much easier. And yet, part of me says that's giving up. That's not what I set out to do. I did not set out to walk my kayak back. So I'm just like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to help us. And literally it was like, you know, well, I guess this is canoeing. I was like, and like, but instead of this, it was like,
ooh, like literally
pulling it.
But then you're stronger for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we got around Turtle Island. We got back up to camp and made it in time for breakfast. But I'm so glad that I persevered through it. Because now I'm like, you're right. You are stronger for it. Mm. And so in those moments of surrender where we think, I can't possibly do this. You got to surrender to the Lord. Say, I can't do this, so you're going to have to help me. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to help me deny myself, pick up your cross, pick up my cross and follow you because I can't do it on my own. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of what the problem is. We think we have to do it on our own. But if Jesus says, come and I will make you fishers of men, that means he's traveling with us through the whole thing. So he's going to give us the strength that we need
right. To
deny ourselves. He knows what we need. Just like he knew that I needed gas for my car. He knew I needed a place to live and he knew that I needed food to eat. I never, you know, unless I wanted to, I never missed a meal. My car always had gas in it and I was never cold. Like,
wow.
Like God totally met my needs all along the way because I surrendered it to him and said, okay, if this is what you're calling me to, you're going to have to help.
Yes.
Like, and he did. And so even though it can feel like so tough, Jesus is right there along every step of the way, giving us the strength that we need, the provision that we need, the love that we need. Because maybe he's calling us to love a person and you're just like, oh, is that my cross? Really, Lord, is that my cross that I have to love this person at work who makes fun of me or who's just so difficult? Really, is that my cross today? Oh, could you not give me something else? And Jesus is like, that's what I'm asking you to do. And I'm not asking you to do it on your own. Would you invite me into that situation and let me do a miracle?
Yeah.
That is part of the cost. Are we willing to actually let go and let God do it?
And sometimes the miracle is not that you see someone else transformed, is that he transforms you.
Yeah.
As you follow him, as you spend time in his word and reading about how to love people. He says, a new command I give you, that you love one another. He says that in John.
Yeah.
So he will equip you to do it. And then you see the change in yourself.
Yes.
That only love can transform a heart.
Yes.
And only the love of Christ can transform your heart and help you to have a new perspective of other people. I was sharing about this book actually with someone I work with. And she said, you know, Carrie, I really have a hard time loving people of a faith like Islam that, you know, in the past has a history of being violent towards other Christians.
Right.
She said, I just don't know what to do. I just really don't. I can't muster up any kind of love towards them. And I said, that's the miracle of what Jesus does, is that he can, as we pray and ask him to give us love for someone else, to give us understanding of them and where they're coming from, he does it. And it's crazy.
Yes.
Is crazy.
Yeah.
So try it. I just implore you to ask God to say, what are you calling me to do? Who are you calling me to love?
Yeah.
And listen and read the word and see what Holy Spirit tells you. Maybe start in your journal to write down some things that you feel that he's asking you to do, asking you to love. Maybe it's to start giving some money to an organization that helps support people who are trying to evangelize. Yeah. And go from there and see what he does.
Yeah. So when we talk about the cost of catching a fish, it really is everything. Jesus asks for our everything. And when he says, come, follow me, that whole idea is deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. It means that you are giving your everything to what he is asking you to do. He asks you to do something. Are you willing to do it? It says that they will know, like you said, that you are my disciples because of the way that you love.
So as we follow him more, we should be becoming more loving.
Yes.
We should be.
Yes.
Yeah. And the other day, I was with a family member and just did not feel like I wanted to care for them.
Right.
And it was shocking. Like, is that my real self? But then I'm reminded that's my old self. my new self is being renewed in his image and being renewed to love like Christ.
Right.
And so, you know, God can enable you to let your past mm-hmm. be your past and move on.
I agree.
So yay God.
Yay God. So the great thing is that the cost of catching fish costs us everything, but Jesus gives us everything.
He already laid down everything.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. Shall we pray?
Let's do it.
Lord God, thank you so much that you call us, and then you call us to lay down everything, actually, that we might truly experience everything. And so, Father, we ask in your name that you would reveal to us those times where you have called us and we haven't responded. And secondly, that you would reveal to us what things are that we aren't laying down, those things that we are holding to so tight that we think that we cannot do without. And so, Father, would you convict us of that as well? Lord, we want to grow closer to you. We, as Carrie says, that is the old self that says no, because we are being made new in your image. So, Father, help us to say yes to you and believe that you really will help us to lay these things down, and then you will really provide for all we need according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Thank you for that hope. You are awesome. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for tuning in again. We do encourage you to go to our website, click on our partners page, check out all of our amazing partners who help make this show possible, mm-hmm. Including Category 5 TV and Robbie Ferguson, our yes. director and producer, who edits the show and makes this happen. If you want to check out on our partners page, Dollar Shave Club, and they send you fancy pants razors for cheap once a month. And I thought, man, it's only a dollar and someone's going to come and help you shave once a month.
Okay.
No, that's not it. But check it out. There's other great partners there. And we just look forward to seeing you next week, neweveryday.tv. Hope you have an awesome week.
I agree.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cheers, Jen.
Cheers.